You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Good afternoon to one and all. Welcome to the Gym Class on this March the 3rd, 2021. I am Mark Dukes. I'll be with you for the next hour. And this is our 15th year of the show. And each March means I have to move into the captain's chair and be joined by our producer. And not a bad thing. Scott Unash in Des Moines covering the girls' state tournament. So I welcome in Buttons. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. I miss you. I'm on my back porch. You're in the studio making things happen as usual. And I was just thinking before we came on the air, you know, I'm usually in a good mood. I'm in a particularly good mood today because more so because of the weather. I mean, we're in the mid to upper 40s. Doesn't sound like a lot to those people that might be listening and warmer climates, but I mean, I see grass, I see pavement, I see clear rooftops. Makes a guy feel good, Buttons.
It really does. 20 minutes before the show, I was actually just in my car, just sitting, taking in the sun, and I have leather seats, so it was really, really warm. The windows were down. It's a great day.
It really is. And a lot to discuss today on the program. We're going to take a deep dive into the Big Ten wrestling tournament, which comes up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, on the campus of Penn State University. I want to talk quite a bit about a really impactful night in college basketball. That was yesterday. We'll have a Bowling Night in America preview at the end of the program. And let's, first of all, get you updated on what's going on at the girls' state basketball tournament. Earlier, it was West Branch notching its first ever win in the girls' state tournament, 49-33 over Grundy Center. West Branch will play Dyke New Hartford Friday at noon in the 2A semifinals. By the way, the four semifinalists are a combined 93-1. That's pretty solid. Going on right now, and Scott Unash and Steve Dozier on the call on 107.5 FM. It's number 8 seed Springville giving number 1 seed Algona Garrigan all it wants. Springville right now trailing by 2 with 4 minutes left in the game. So should that upset be pulled off, it will be one of the all-timers in girls' state basketball history. I guess those of us in Eastern Iowa should root for the Orioles, right, Buttons?
You know, we have to, right?
I know Scott Unash isn't rooting. He's calling a game, and he's very professional at it. But that's got to be an exciting thing to do because Springville, a huge underdog in that game. We'll keep you updated on that particular ball game. Boys Substate basketball action last night. It was not a good evening for the metro area. Kennedy with a really heartbreaking 65-63 overtime loss to Johnston, and Washington falling to number 1 Cedar Falls. Buttons, this means that the metro area will be shut out of both the boys and girls state tournaments for the first time in 35 years, longer than you've been alive.
That's longer than I've been alive by plenty of years, and it's kind of disappointing, but it's been a hard year for all the programs.
It has, and Kennedy gave a great effort last night. Washington nearly making it on the girls' side, and that's a young team that will be coming back and making a run for it next year. But very much a rarity, first time since 1986 that not a metro area boys or girls basketball team will be participating in the state tournament. We do have some area teams that have qualified in the boys' side of things, among them North Lynn, and we'll bring you updates on the boys' state tournament. That field's set now. We'll talk to Jeff Johnson of the Gazette on Friday about that field. Buttons, I don't know how much time you spent watching college basketball last night, but I was glued to the TV. Did you catch a bunch of it?
Illinois and Michigan was the one that I caught last night.
Okay, I started out my afternoon shortly after the program yesterday watching number 3 Baylor and number 6 West Virginia. I have not seen a better basketball game this year, I don't think. Buttons, it was a 94-89 overtime victory by Baylor. And the Bears, this is hard to believe, first regular season basketball championship in 71 years. It was 1950 when Baylor won the old Southwest Conference championship. And now it is the Big 8 champion and a solid number one seed in the NCAA tournament. That was quite a game.
It really was. And going even further, did you catch that Illinois-Michigan game? I just want to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, let's do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, number 2 Michigan, number 4 Illinois. Illinois won by 23 points, 76-53, and without star Ayo Dosunmu. I mean, Michigan laid an egg, that's for sure. Illinois played terrific. It led by 11 at the half and just never let Michigan back in the game. Now, Michigan and Illinois are both number one seeds in most bracketology that I have seen today, Jerry Palm and Joe Lunardi. But, man, that was I guess we've come to expect this in the Big Ten. But not to this extent, have we?
No. And go down the team stats for Illinois. Going into this game, I thought Michigan had it. If I was a betting man, that's what I would put my money on. And then you look at these team stats. Field goal was 46.9% for Illinois, 71.4% for free throws compared to Michigan, 70.8%. So it's not a big margin, but they did something right.
Yeah, it took Hunter Dickinson out of the game, too, the big center, for the most part. And we know what he did against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Right now, Michigan is on the verge of clinching the Big Ten championship. It hasn't done so yet. It has 2 games left against Michigan State. And should it win one of those 2, Michigan will lock up the regular season championship. Now, the Wolverines are only going to play 17 Big Ten games. So it's possible if Michigan loses both games to Michigan State and Illinois wins its last game that Illinois would be the champion based on percentage. But nevertheless, despite the margin of victory, it didn't damage Michigan's standing nationally and really didn't damage itself too much in the Big Ten standings. I mean, 13-2 with a chance to finish 15-2, that's a heck of a year. And Illinois chance to finish 16-4. Those are 2 very solid seasons.
They really are just more than solid seasons. I mean, take a look at the pandemic and everything that's done to all these programs. That's pretty darn good for this year.
It really is. And the Iowa Hawkeyes, 2 games away from clinching the number 3 seed in the Big Ten tournament, playing Nebraska tomorrow night and then this weekend against Wisconsin, currently tied with Purdue at 12-6 in the league. And that's a half game ahead of the Ohio State Buckeyes. How about this? Ohio State 5th in the league and the number 2 seed right now, projected anyway, in the nation. That says a lot about the Big Ten and the respect the Ohio State Buckeyes have, because they're 12-7 in the league. Another more games last night, Michigan State and Indiana. Michigan State hanging on by a thread to go to the Big Dance, as it's called. But the Spartans come up with a 64-58 win over Indiana. I think pretty much putting the nail in the coffin of Indiana's chances to make the NCAA tournament, barring you know, a very, very strong run in the Big Ten tournament. And then the nightcap that I watched, Purdue and Wisconsin. Again, if you would like to weigh in, 319-366-1600, your feelings about what you saw in the Big Ten last night and what you expect going forward. I'm here to say Purdue's going to be a problem.
Purdue's going to be a big problem.
73-69 winner over Wisconsin. And I marveled at the play of a guy named Zach Edey, who I didn't know a whole lot about. 7'4" Canadian who went to IMG Academy in Florida. Not the same academy that the Murray boys went to. 7'4". He only played 11 minutes in Iowa's win over Purdue in December and scored 3 points. But he had a career-high 21 points last night. And I kept saying to myself, you know what? The next 3 years should both stay in the Big Ten. The matchups between Zach Edey and Hunter Dickinson are going to be maybe legendary. I don't know. Maybe this is an outlier for Edey, but, man, 7'4" with a touch. He was remarkable last night.
He really was. And, you know, out there, what do you guys think? 319-366-1600. The Big Ten altogether, and we keep on saying this throughout the year, but it's a strong, strong conference, and it's difficult to get anything done, right?
Well, yeah, and we've seen that out of most teams. But the important thing right now, I think, and this is going to be a challenge for Michigan, is to play your best basketball at the end of the year. For one game anyway, Iowa seemed to put it all together against Ohio State. And it has played very well in the stretch of 6, 7, 8 games. Didn't win them all. But this is your goal right now, to go into the Big Ten tournament and be playing your best basketball. And I don't know which teams in the Big Ten you can say are doing that. I think definitely Purdue, perhaps Iowa, maybe Illinois is rounding into shape. Perhaps we shouldn't discount that Michigan performance last night. It's the second time it's really had a clunker. There was one at Minnesota and then last night against Illinois. So, you know, I don't know how strongly people feel about who's playing well in the Big Ten right now and can make a run. I mean, Rutgers was playing very well and then dropped the game to Nebraska. Nebraska doesn't really really scare many people, but it did with that performance against Rutgers. And you know, it's going to be so exciting in the Big Ten. Anxious to see the matchups they're going to be put out this weekend. And college basketball season is in the home stretch, and you hope it reaches the finish. The Missouri Valley Conference tips off tomorrow. We'll talk to Kevin Lehman in our Off the Glass segment about that tournament and the Big Ten and all things college basketball. But it's really shaping up to be, as we've come to know, a very exciting time in college basketball.
It really is. And, you know, taking a look at tomorrow, Iowa versus Nebraska, looking at Rutgers versus Nebraska, I'm a little nervous. Mm. Just knowing how Iowa plays, and if they show up like they did at Rutgers, it's going to be closer. It's hard to tell at this point because the Big Ten is strong, and Nebraska could just show up and blow Iowa out of the water if Iowa's not put together.
Yeah, and I find that. I find it hard to believe that Iowa won't be ready. I think it was a big benefit to the Hawkeyes to see what Nebraska did to Rutgers. And Luka Garza and other players said as much yesterday that, you know, they're not going to take this team lightly. Look what they did to Rutgers. So I would expect Iowa to hold serve at Carver Hawkeye Arena tomorrow night. And, you know, finally on the national landscape last night, Duke – hanging on by a thread, and it's a NCAA term of life. And that's I never thought I'd say that, but Duke dropped an overtime game to Georgia Tech, and the Blue Devils now 11-10 overall and out of most brackets. And of course, Duke could make a run in the conference tournament, but my goodness, think about Duke not being in the tournament, Buttons.
That's something to think about. I mean, what are they, 19th right now?
I know they're 11-10.
Yeah. That's just something to think about, and I can barely think about it, you know?
Yeah, given all the success Duke has had, right. It's hard to wrap your head around that. But I'll give you a quick update, and it's going to go final here pretty quickly, most likely. Algona Garrigan with a 4-point lead over the Springville Orioles in the girls' state tournament with 21 seconds left. So seems like an unlikely victory for Springville, but we'll bring you that final when it goes final. So, I'm very much looking forward to the end of the regular season and what happens. Iowa State last night couldn't get – still winless in the league. I think Steve Prohm just wants this season to be over. Maybe not, because his job might be hanging in the balance. I don't know. That's just a presumption on my – but when you don't win a game in the league, despite whatever talent you have, that's just not very good.
It's not, and I don't think he wants the season to end, because I think the writing's almost on the wall at this point, and we keep on going back and forth of, well, are they going to keep him on another year, or is he done? You have to think at this point, with no wins, he's about over. At this point, they may need to start looking at another option, or at least having that conversation with him.
319-366-1600, your thoughts on our conversations today. 81-86 on the text line. Doesn't Purdue always seem to have a 7-footer? it does seem so. You go back to the days of Joe Barry Carroll, who I don't think was 7 foot, but he was close to it. It does seem Purdue has a lot of 7-footers. But I'm telling you what, that Zach Edey last night, 7'4", 285 pounds. And again, we didn't see much of him in that game in December in Iowa City when Iowa had a 15-point victory over the Boilermakers. The man last night, he was – and maybe he was a true outlier. I don't know. But I'm just here to say this guy can play. And he looked every bit the part last night. And it makes – you know, if he continues this play – one more example where I think Purdue is going to be a very, very tough out, not only in the Big Ten tournament, but going forward in the NCAAs.
Yeah, and, you know, just looking at his stats, I don't know much about him, just like you, but last night he played well.
Yeah, he operated inside. He had mid-range jumpers. He made free throws, and at a minimum, he's a guy to keep your eye on, that's for sure. So it has gone final in Des Moines. Algona Garrigan surviving a real big threat from number 8 seed Springville, 48-42. And Springville bows out at 21-5. And that's a team that returns everybody for next season. So nice job getting to state. And giving Algona Garrigan a heck of a game this afternoon. Just a few minutes away from talking with Mark Ironside, and we're going to talk extensively about the Big Ten wrestling tournament, excuse me, coming up this week, weekend in University Park on the campus of Penn State University. And, of course, that was a tournament that Iowa won last year. And then very soon thereafter, just a few days, the NCAA wrestling tournament was canceled due to COVID-19. So, man, a year later, look where we're at.
A year. Ooh. I remember when all this went down, I was board hopping a basketball game for Scott and then looking at the NBA news, and it felt like more than a year at this point.
Rudy Gobert, right?
Yep.
That was the guy that, well, not to blame him, but his infection triggered most responses around the country, and it included the NCAA wrestling tournament and so many other events, and was slowly, slowly getting back and getting more hopeful all the time. I think of what I hate to say getting back to normal, because I'm not sure normalcy will ever return. I don't, you know, I hope so, but it's just been a very strange and challenging year, and I'm glad the guys get to go at it for the NCAA championships this weekend, and the Division III guys getting an opportunity. We talked to Dick Simmons about that event coming up a week from this weekend at the Extreme Arena in Coralville. Glad to see those wrestlers getting an opportunity to get after it as well. So, Buttons, let's take a break. And we come back, we will talk with Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer, here on the Gym Class.
Basketball is always finding new player props or game props that you like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same game parlay bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Same game parlay bets allow you to combine many NBA market options such as player point totals, rebounds, assists, player props, as well as more traditional markets like money lines, over unders, and point spreads. So you can root your favorite players on, put a small bet down with a chance to win big. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back in site credit each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. You heard that right, every day. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try a same game parlay and use promo code KUHN at sign up. That's promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Get a stylish solution for every room with window treatments at Menards, and save with 11% off everything. Get window images, room darkening vinyl and aluminum blinds, faux wood blinds, and cellular shades trimmed to width for free. Or order a custom style and size. Choose from durable, economical options to stunning custom designs, all 11% off. Good through March 6th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, it helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome back to the Gym Class here on KGYM, 1600, 102.3, and 106.3 FM, and various platforms that Buttons has arranged for us to appear on. Among them are what, Buttons? I don't have the list in front of me.
We have Apple Podcasts. We also have Spotify. And we do have an update, which I haven't put into the system yet, on programming for Thursday. Are you ready for that?
Yes, let's go.
All righty, let me see. 11:45, we have 5A, Iowa City West versus Johnston on Thursday. And also on Friday, 2A, West Branch versus Dyke, New Hartford. That was just from Scott.
Sounds good. And we'll have that Iowa City West game tomorrow, as you mentioned, the semifinals in the girls' state tournament. Reminder, we'll be followed from 4 to 6 by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Their program includes the 5 o'clock hour, driven by Linder Tire Service, with 3 locations in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Right now, we are wrestling segment sponsored by Kirk Gustafson and his team at American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. And today, it's our college segment with Mark Ironside. Hello, Hall of Famer.
What's up, Mark?
I'm doing well, Mark. And
you doing all right? You know what you're doing with that dashboard?
Excuse me?
You know what you're doing with that dashboard and all those buttons and everything? You know how to run all that?
Oh, no, that's my job, Mark.
Oh, so Zach gets to go do that.
Yep.
I sit on my back porch and Skype, Mark. How about that?
Nice.
You really got to be nice. Super excited for this week.
I am too. I'm not excited for the drive, but I'm excited for the wrestling.
Drive?
Yeah, man, drive. 12 hours.
Is the team driving or flying?
The team is flying. And normally in a non-COVID year, I would be on that two-hour flight with them. Instead, I get to enjoy a nice 12-hour car ride.
Oh, boy. Well, talk to Michael Loss. He's been all over the country covering basketball. He'll give you all the great side routes.
I got a good group of guys that will be traveling together, and I'm sure it'll be fun and interesting. The drive home all night long Sunday night and then getting home about 6 a.m. and being to work at 7, that should be a lot of fun, though.
Mark, the Big Ten pre-seeds are out. I want to ask you a simple question that I'm not sure I know the total answer for. What's the purpose of pre-seeds? Is that made by the conference and based on RPI, and then the coaches get together on Friday and set the final seeds? Is that what it's all about?
Yep. Yep. Correct. And typically these seeds don't really change a whole lot, except for maybe they will this year, just in case, injury is typically usually how things may kind of unfold different things. But with COVID this year, all of a sudden, if someone tests positive between now and then, obviously that's going to change up some stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's all done, so it's not like a great big, huge, long melee of seed meeting and so forth or whatever, which it still ends up being anyway, kind of sometimes. I was able and lucky enough to sit in one a couple years ago. Tom took me along with him, and I just sat back, ate popcorn, listened to these coaches argue and bicker back and forth. So it was pretty comical. The guys just trying to get the highest and best seed that they can for their guys. But everything is pretty much stays true. Nothing changes a whole lot.
Well, let's go weight by weight, Mark. And this is a lot of fun because although we don't have the body of work for most teams that we normally would have, we know enough about these wrestlers, and you certainly know enough about them. At 125, I don't know that it takes a great deal of analysis. I mean, Spencer Lee, a seeded number one, and he pinned the number two seed in 80 seconds. I wanted to ask you about the number three seed, Malik Heinzelman of Ohio State. He didn't wrestle against Iowa for whatever reason when they met in a duel. So let's take 125 for a minute.
I mean, I don't think it really matters who's seeded where in that bracket, you know, for who's going to come out on top. I mean, Spencer Lee, as long as he goes out and he's Spencer Lee style and he's ready to go, which I know that he will be, that I don't really care what happens from second through 14th, you know. Spencer Lee's pretty much got that a number one spot, and I don't see him even going a full match at the Big Ten championships.
By the way, 7 NCAA automatic qualifiers at most weight classes, including 125. We'll let you know those weight classes where there are not 7 automatics. 133, you would expect, based on seeds, for an Iowa finalist in Austin DeSanto. He's seeded 2nd. Roman Bravo Young, Penn State, is your number one. And, of course, Iowa and Penn State have not seen one another, so what are you looking at 133?
that's going to be a really good, interesting weight, fun weight, along with a lot of these. This is the Big Ten Championships, which is honestly, as you know, is pretty much like a mini nationals. How many teams of the Big Ten are ranked in the top, 10 of the in the country? And when you take a look at that, I mean, my goodness, the Big Ten is just absolutely stacked and loaded, and so are these weight classes. And some people say that the Big Ten tournament, if you could actually go as a fan, is a better term to go sit in person and watch than the nationals, just because there's only four matches, you're closer to the action. It's a quicker run tournament. Every match is like, every time that, with four mats going, there's a phenomenal match on the mat pretty much at all times. And then they sit back in Canada. A lot of times they'll just won't spend the money and go to nationals and just watch that one on TV, because this Big Ten is so jam-packed full of exciting wrestling. And that's how it's going to be at 133 and a lot of other weights. As far as DeSanto goes, he's on the same size as Sammy Alvarez of Rutgers. They have not seen each other yet. So it'll be, I don't know. I mean, I look forward, DeSanto to be wrestled at least to a seed. The last time that, him and Bravo Young have wrestled, from Bravo has kind of had his number. Just the bigger thing with DeSanto is trying to find somehow, some way to score on RBY. He's got to get an angle. He's got to cut an angle a little bit better. He's got to come up with a different shot. I mean, RBY has his number on his patented carry shot. So and I'm sure that they've worked on it a lot, especially with not having a whole lot of competition lately and knowing that's the number one ranked guy in the country. And he's going to see him at the Big Ten. So that's probably their main focus, is figuring out how to beat RBY.
Before we get to 141, Mark, do you know, are there going to be fans at Penn State?
Not that I've heard, not that I know of. I'd be shocked if there is. It's the Big Ten. I mean, they're pretty stingy about, the whole pandemic and COVID process and so forth. So I know that I had to go down and get tested today. I have to get tested tomorrow. I have to get tested Friday when I'm there. I have to get tested Saturday when I'm there. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to be letting any fans in. And I know credentials are even really, really tough to get. And they're basically only allowing, immediate people that need to be in the building that they feel in the building.
Maybe one reason the Big Ten Network expanded its television coverage. And, of course, you can listen to Mark on his call on his radio network. But, by the way, I was disappointed they're not going to show Session 3, which I think those are the placing matches and whatnot, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Those are big matches. Those are some really big rounds. There must be a conflict that day. Or that morning, on Sunday morning, got something going on live, so that didn't make the cut. But at least they're showing both sessions on Saturday, so you're going to get to see the quarters, and you're going to see the semis, and then you're going to get to see the finals come Sunday evening. Well, I shouldn't say evening; it's probably afternoon here, 3 o'clock here our time. They also wrestle third and fifth place matches at the same time as the finals. So whether they split the screen like they're going to do for the other sessions and show all three mats for the finals, or just like they normally do, just show the finals and finals only, I don't know. It'll be interesting how that pans out, but at least they're going to be showing a lot of coverage. Since the fans can't make it, they know that there's going to be a lot of viewers tuning into that.
Talking with Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer, on our wrestling segment, weekly wrestling segment, brought to you by Kirk Gustafson of American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue Southwest. Any concerns about Jaden Ironman, the number one seed from Iowa at 141?
Concerns? That's gonna be a freaking amazing, providing both guys get their finals match between him and Nick Lee. It's gonna be a dogfight. I don't really have any concerns about Jaden Ironman. I'm just, excited to watch him wrestle and watch him come through this Big Ten tournament. It's going to be new to him. He's never wrestled in a Big Ten tournament before. So it's a stacked weight right there with Lee and Rivera, but Lee and Rivera is on the same side. So that's going to be a barn burner between those two to see who makes the finals to potentially wrestle Ironman. And you got Chad Red, who Ironman got taken down by once right out of the gate. And then, almost a couple more times, but then kind of settled in. That was his Carver debut this year, and then ended up pinning Red in a cradle. So Ironman's just fun to watch. It's going to be really interesting. It's great. It's going to be really great to see Ironman wrestle, some stiff competition again, a lot, you know, amongst all these guys. I mean, he had a good tough match, you know, against Ohio State as well too, but I don't know. It'll be interesting. See, I mean, Ironman lets a lot of guys in on that right leg of his, and he's really good at defense. And the thing is, though, is that Nick Lee or Rivera, they're both studs at finishing that shot. They're really good at finishing shots. So he can't just kind of stick that leg out there and want him to come into it, you know, and it kind of bait him like he does a lot of people. I think it's a situation where he has to stay to his offense, his doubles. Got a great double, blast double, stayed true to his offense, and then if someone happens to get in on leg, then he goes to that defense. But that's going to be a barn burner of semifinals and finals there at 141 pounds.
149 has six automatic qualifiers, and Max Buren from Iowa seated number two behind Sammy Sasso of Ohio State. Let's break that down.
Buren, that's going to be interesting. They're only taking the top seven. He's two. He's going to have a tough match out of the gate with that Levette, I believe, out of Nebraska. He was up at 133 pounds a couple years ago, and now he's up. But, I mean, I look for him to win that match, but there's really no easy matches, as I mentioned already before. I mean, these weight classes are so stinking loaded. I'd like to see Mirren make sure he gets to the finals and, you know, one match at a time, so to speak. He's got Storr, Michigan in there as well, too. But I'd like to see a rematch with him and Sasso, you know, and see how he's progressed and how if he's been able to, you know, work on some things, because he got in on Sasso like six times in that dual meet and just couldn't finish any of those shots. Sasso never even touched, you know, Mirren's legs, and he just scored off of Mirren's shot. So if Mirren can learn how to get that corner cut or elevate and come up right away and out that back door and finish, that could be a whole nother match. So, but I really like how Mirren's looked all year. He looks solid. He's consistent. He's consistent for 7 minutes. He's not the most flashy guy type of guy on the team, but he's just a grinder. He stays on you. It's hard to see sometimes from a TV or if you're actually in the stands from how much pressure he actually applies to a guy. He's a smart wrestler. I mean, he's really, really wrestled well, what little wrestling we've done this year. So, you know, I look for him to be being in the top three for sure, wrestling to his seed, hopefully, and maybe even beating Sasso and get a little bit of redemption in the finals.
Caleb Young also seated second for the Iowa Hawkeyes at 157. And, man, I look down this list of seeds, Mark. You got Deacon, the number one seed from Northwestern, but you also have Lee from Minnesota, Kendall Coleman, Purdue, Will Lewin, Michigan. What are your thoughts at 57?
Well, you know, Caleb Young, he always wrestles, you know, I shouldn't say always. This year he's actually put some points on the board, but he's had a lot of tight matches in the past. He did not have a Big Ten championship that he was happy with at all last year. So I'm hoping this year he goes in, he's more relaxed, he's open-minded, he just kind of lets it go. He doesn't try and just to win by, you know, one or two points, and he tries to put a lot of points on the board because that's where he's best. His defense is so good, his offense is so good. It's just a matter of getting – you know, Caleb Young to open up and make it a wrestling match and not letting it come down to, you know, a one-score type of match. And that's very, very crucial for him. You know, like you said, he's the number one or number two seed. Deacon from Northwestern, who's a stud, he's number one seed. We're on the same side as Lee from Minnesota, who we beat in the dual meet pretty handily. You know, I look for good things out of him. He's just a go-getter, and the fact that he's not like super like Mirren, he's not super flashy or anything like that, but he's really athletic and he's hard to score on, and he goes out and he gets the job done, and that's what we're looking for out of him. And I know last year, like I said, at the Big Tens, he didn't qualify automatically, had to get a kind of an at-large bid last year to get in the NCAAs, and hopefully he doesn't have that issue this weekend.
Good friend of mine texted me earlier this week, Mark, and former Jefferson State champion Kent Miller. He was hearing out in California that Marinelli was not going to be in the tournament. Well, he is, and he's got to be itching to go at 65, I would think.
Yeah, Marinelli's going to be there for sure. There's no doubt. Marinelli's locked, loaded, and ready to go, probably more than anybody on the team for that matter. He's been out the longest, and when he was able to come back, then the team got shut down at that point in time. And then, you know, Wisconsin kind of dogged us there a little bit. And so he's just chomping at the bit to get out there. And I look for big things. I look for him to be a Big Ten champ again. You know, I think it's pretty much Marinelli's term to have, and everybody else is going to be just kind of, you know, scrapping and chasing each other for second place. That's how I look at that 165.
Would you say the same about Michael Kimmerer at 74, or what's his biggest competition there?
Well, I would say that his, you know, I mean, but normally if you would have just walked into this year, I would say that Massa from Michigan, who's the number four seed, which will be on Kimmerer's side, that's going to be the toughest competition I think that he'll have in the tournament. Which he'll see him in the semifinals, actually. So I think the finals match of that weight class will be wrestling the semifinals. But Massa has not been as solid this year as he has been in the past. You know, providing he gets by Massa, then he'll probably wrestle Labriola in the finals, who he already made your decision once, you know, this year, which was the first dual meet at the beginning of the season for Iowa. So, I mean, I think Kimmerer is, you know, for sure a landslide to, you know, for number one seed. I think he looks solid. He's strong. He scores from so many positions. He's so fun to watch. But the toughest competition there at 174 for him, I think, would be Michigan's Logan Massa.
184, Nelson Brands is the lowest seeded Iowa Hawkeye at number nine. Mark, I would think that the first goal is to get an AQ, and then second of all, place as high as possible. What do you think about 84?
I think, Nelson, that's the biggest weight for us that's kind of up in the air and question mark. This is an opportunity for Nelson to make a statement. It's an opportunity to make a statement for, you know, Nelson Brands and who he is and what he's about, and show how good of a wrestler that he can be in not just one match, but an entire weekend. And that's where I think Nelson Brand shines the most. If you go by the pre-seeds, you know, I mean, he's not going to be in the tournament. So, I mean, they're only taking seven there. He's seeded number nine. I think that Nelson, a little bit like Caleb Young, he just has to go in and relax and just let it go and let the fur fly and you know, wrestle his matches. And that first match out of the gate for him is going to be a tough one. And, you know, against Bernagel, out of Illinois, who got beat by in overtime this, you know, dual meet season, and he also got beat in overtime last year in the Midlands as well, too. So that's a tough match for him right out of the gate, because if he loses that match, that's going to be a long road back for him. So that's a big match. He's got to be ready to go, and he's just got to go out and get after it. He just has to wrestle. That's my thing. He just has to come out. He has to be aggressive. He has to wrestle. He has to make it a wrestling match and not let it come down to just a one-score match. Sometimes he just gets to be wrestling too tight, and he just ends up tensing up and then ends up kind of letting a match slide out of his hands, a lot of his grip. And you got to put matters in your own hands, but you got to do it for 7 minutes.
Previewing this weekend's Big Ten Wrestling Tournament with Mark Ironside, our Wednesday regular a wrestling segment. Mark, 197, Iowa has never had a Big Ten champion since that weight came into being in 1999. But I would guess you would have to say Jacob Warner could shatter that.
Yeah. I mean, Warner's going to be, he's kind of another one. I mean, I don't want to say on the bubble, but, I mean, he's seated third, but they're only taking five there. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of wiggle room there, you know. Warner's another one that sometimes he can wrestle really, really tough, you know, if he's ready to go. And then other times he can, you know, hide, you know, and not really wrestle how he's true and kind of sit on his offense and wait for the other guy to kind of slip on a wet spot. And just sit there and just kind of hand fight and double unders. And that's how close matches happen. But, you know, a couple of times this year, he has done a really good job of getting to his offense, being aggressive, putting points on the scoreboard. The biggest match comes to mind is Minnesota, where he got a major decision, and he looks really, really good. And that's how he's going to have to wrestle at 197 this tournament. I mean, he's, like I said, he's the number three seed. He'll see Miles Amin from Michigan in the semifinals, and that's a bracket he can for sure win. There's no doubt that's a bracket he can win. If you remember the dual meet this year against Schultz from Nebraska, who's the number one seed, he was very upset after that match because he lost it at the end. And you know, again, you got to take matters into your own hands, and you know, this is an opportunity for him to kind of right a couple wrongs there, and you just got to be excited about going in and getting after it. If you're going to go in there and just kind of trying to keep a match close and not lose, then it's anybody's ball game, and you just can't wrestle like that. Be aggressive, be physical, be smart, you know, quick finishes, cutting corners, and that's just how he has to wrestle, sharp, and he'll be on top. But if he doesn't, then like I said, they're only taking five there, and he might drop below that threshold, which he would then be able to get in, I would assume, with a bid.
Man, 285 is going to be a whole lot of fun. I think they're only taking six there, Mark. Tony Cassiope, the third seed, behind Stevenson and Minnesota and Paris from Michigan. This is going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, heavyweight is going to be, I tell you what, when they say they save the best for last, that weight class, that's a bunch of wolves just going after it, especially those top three. You know, those guys are, they're just, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. You know, Tony Cassiope, still, again, they're only taking top six there. Hilger from Wisconsin is on his side, who he's handled before, you know, well, but I keep hearing people say that, but at the same time, Hilger's tough. We cannot take Hilger for granted, and we got to be ready to go for that match. There's no doubt we got to be ready to go for that match. And then once we get past him, then we start looking at Paris, and then we start looking at Gable Stevenson again. But he's going to have to scrap. He's going to have to fight hard. And like I said earlier today when I was on a different podcast, is Tony Cassiope has to wrestle for Tony Cassiope. I mean, he's proven how good he is and how good that he can be. You know, ever since that loss to Stevenson, he's gone out. He's, you know, been aggressive. He gets takedowns the first period. He works at turning guys over. He pins them and he walks off the mat like it's no big deal. And that's his job. And it's like, who's next? And that's the mentality he has to have. And he cannot take a back seat to anybody. If he's going to stay in there and he's going to wrestle a hard match with Paris and also Stevenson, it's going to be a close match come the end. And he'll give himself a chance to even maybe be out on top of it when it's over. But if he goes out and he just kind of, you know, gives up super easy points and just kind of folds for the guy, then you're not even giving yourself a chance. And that's all I ask out of Tony Cassiope is to go out and wrestle like Tony Cassiope is capable of and stay in there and fight for a full entire 7 minutes and then some if need to. And just fight, get after it, you know, and make it a tough, tough match on those guys. You know, that's how you're going to have to beat those guys.
Quick question on the text line from 1207, Mark. Your thoughts on Kemmerer and Massa in a possible semifinal?
Kemmerer and Massa in the semis?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be, like I said, when I was talking about that weight class, that to me, that's the finals match right there. I think it's going to be a great match. Massa has not looked as good as he this year as he has in the past. I don't know exactly why, just because he's up a weight class, because, you know, the whole COVID training situation's kind of gotten him off. Michigan was shut down for a while or whatever. But I do know what he's capable of. I do know how good that he can be. He had some crazy good, hard-fought physical matches with Marinelli, and he's going to do the same thing for Michael Kemmerer. So, you know, I mean, I look for Kemmerer to come out on top. It's going to be probably a close match. I'd say probably, you know, like a 5-3 type of score. But I don't see Kemmerer losing to Massa. I'm telling you, man, Kemmerer is so solid right now. He is just, I just love the kid. He's so solid in all facets of the sport, as our whole entire team is. Our whole entire team, they're just a bunch of wolves, like a wolf pack, and they're so freaking hungry right now to just for any type of competition. And when they get on that mat, you can tell. I mean, they are just ferocious, and they're just, you know, attacking their opponents, and they're just, you know, they're hitting shots to the left, hitting shots to the right, hitting snaps. I mean, they're just getting after it, and it's just a lot of fun to see. And they really kind of live off of each other's momentum, and it's just going to be. I think it's going to be a great weekend. And the good thing is we get to do it in Penn State in their house in Bryce Jordan Arena. Unfortunately, there won't be no fans there to see it, but it's going to be a good time.
Final question, Mark. Who's the biggest threat to dethroning Iowa? Would it be Penn State, perhaps Michigan, or is it just Iowa?
I think that, you know, a combination of Penn State and Michigan and some others is basically going to take all of them to gang up, so to speak, on Iowa for anybody to catch Iowa. I don't think that I think Penn State has a tougher team and a better team right now than what Michigan does. At least they did in the dual meet, but we'll see what happens. And I mean, it's such a hard year, Mark, right now, just because these guys haven't wrestled a lot and these teams haven't wrestled a lot and they haven't had full lineups in the lineups and some people were out and they weren't in full shape and they just weren't at full, you know, level. And so it's just kind of hard to get a for sure kind of test and feel about what's going to happen here. But just based off what I have seen from the Hawkeyes, I think it's our tournament to lose. But that's not how the guys are looking at it. Our guys are going out there, they're ready to go. I mean, I can't say it enough how hungry that these guys are just to get on the mat and hear that whistle blow and start wrestling people other than people that they've been wrestling the wrestling room for a year now.
Mark, can't thank you enough, as always, for your appearance, and I wish you safe travels to the East Coast, and we'll talk next week, recap the Big Tens, and look forward to the NCAAs.
I hope we're recapping the Big Tens, and we're bringing back a Big Ten championship for the University of Iowa program 2 years in a row. Let's get after it.
Sounds good, Mark. Be safe out there. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Buttons, let's go to our last break. And when we come back, we'll put a capper on today's program, including a Bowling Night in America preview right after this.
I'm Mary Neubauer with the Iowa Lottery. March is National Problem Gambling Awareness Month, when we highlight and remind Iowans that help is always available 24/7 here in our state.
And I'm Eric Preuss with the Iowa Department of Public Health. Visit yourlifeiowa.org to learn more about problem gambling or to start the conversation with someone who cares by clicking on live chat or by calling 1-800-BETS-OFF.
It's free and confidential.
And it's something you can do anytime.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Welcome back to the last few minutes of the gym class. Mark Dukes, Buttons with you today. And yes, it is another Bowling Night in America. The Rusty Nails holding on to fourth place in the Adult Evergreen League. But tonight, a big challenge against Pro Bowling Concepts. Yes, that's Joel Downer's team, who has about 300 games. I exaggerate, but last week, this team had four of the five bowlers with 700 series or better. Let's hope they got it out of their system last week, and we can make some hay tonight on Bowling Night in America. Thanks to May City Bowl, as always, for sponsoring this segment. You can give them a call at 362-0136 or visit the website, May City Bowl CR. Stay tuned for the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Join the program tomorrow as we visit with Kevin Lehman and talk college hoops. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Buttons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Allstate now has deeper savings, and deeper savings require deep thought.